Good morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Wednesday, July 3rd, 2023. The hearing is the petition of
E-255. Move it up.
Marisol, we're not hearing you very well.
The appellate just came on, George.
I saw that, yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me start over. Good morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Wednesday, July 3rd, 2024. The hearing is petition E-255-23 and E-256-23. The appellant is Crosspoint ICG LLC with the following parcel numbers: 1-0689-101-0581-010, 1-0689-101-0581-011. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st for the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will not ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I so affirm.
I so affirm.
I so affirm.
Yes, I so affirm.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it.
Hey, this is a commercial appeal. In fact, we have two of them from the same general appellant. So we'll hear these concurrently. Well, we'll hear the first two concurrently, then we'll hear the second two concurrently because the two petitions form an economic unit. So we allow an hour for each set of petitions. And so for the first 20 minutes, we'd like to hear from you, Mr. Christensen. Sure. Then we'll hear from the assessor, and then we'll have some questions back and forth, and then we'll move to the second appeal. So with that, you may proceed.
We're talking about River Point at the moment, is that correct?
I believe so, let me.
Yes, that's right. I've got Cross Point as the 9 o'clock.
Well, it's the one on Deschutes in Kennewick, which I think is Cross Point.
Right.
And so we are talking River Point at the moment. Is that correct? Sorry,
I think it's Cross Point. We have Cross Point at 9 and River Point at 10. But we're just going to meld one into the other, so those times are not that relevant at the moment. So we could start with whichever one you want. Doesn't matter.
Well, here's my issue is my Adobe Acrobat, my PDF viewer, just decided to do an update and is going through and it's going to take a minute. Can I defer and allow, the county assessor to make the presentation first and then hopefully.
Sure. Point yeah, we can do that.
Computer will cooperate. Thank you.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Mark, who on your team is going to present?
I will present.
Okay.
So you would like to do River Point first, George, or would you like to do Cross Point first?
Cross Point.
Okay.
The one on Deschutes in Kennewick.
Sure. Let me switch to that one. So Cross Point Apartments are a big investment grade commercial property, multifamily commercial property. It has a couple recent sales, a 2019 sale for $28,720,000 in 2019 and $43,350,000 3 months before the assessment date, 8/31/22. At $216,750 a unit or $222 per square foot. Per state statute, RCW 8440.030, all property shall be valued at 100% of its true and fair value in money and assessed on the same basis unless specifically provided otherwise by law. The true and fair value of property for taxation purposes, including property upon where there, and you know, it talks about a coal mine or stone quarry, it says, section one, any sales of the subject property being appraised or similar properties with respect to sales made in the past 5 years. So the first and foremost consideration that we are required by law to consider is the sale of the subject property or sale of similar properties. In this instance, we have a sale of the subject property within 3 months of the lien date, which is 1/1/2023. The difference between...
It's actually 4 months, Mark. It's 4 months.
Well, it is 8/31, but okay. So
yeah, September, October, November, December, that's 4 months.
That's correct, 4 months. So there is a quite recent sale in most reasonable people's mind, that would be considered a current sale of the subject. You know, the other approaches are not as relevant in this instance because there is a sale of the subject. There are sales. I do present comparable sales. There are, in addition to that, more comparable sales. There's a cost approach. Obviously, no reason to present a quite lengthy cost approach when a sale of the subject is the predominant factor outlined by statute. So in that instance, basically the difference between the appellant's income approach and my income approach is he derived his cap rate by a band of investment, which is, in my opinion, non-predictive in this case because it is very dissimilar to the sale of the subject. The band of investment is, I've been a real estate appraiser for a long time. Band of investment is really typically not used for market value and certainly almost never used for ad valorem taxation. It's the cap rate, which in my income approach, I would expect that the cap rate, the actual cap rate from the subject using the subject's income and expense actual at the time of sales, would predict, obviously, you know, and the derivation can physically be done to obtain that. And I have actuals based upon that sale from CreditIQ, which is a data service that's used in lending that it indicates that, you know, the data was given to their MAI appraiser and sent to, let me show the master services was Key Corp on this sale, Key Corp Real Estate Capital Markets Incorporated, the special servicer, CW Capital Asset Management. These were the, you know, using the figures that I have in front of me, I didn't really see the need, but I certainly could if that was a necessity. If this goes to the Board of Tax Appeal, you know, that will of course be included. But in this instance, when there is a sale of subject within 4 months, thank you for that clarification, George, but within 4 months of the assessment date, I don't think this needs to go any further than that.
Okay. Quick question. At the top of where you have improved sales, it says adjusted sale price. So is this sale price time adjusted or what? or is that the actual sale price?
That is, I can double check, but that is, to my understanding, the actual sale price. I don't think any time adjustment was given for 4 months.
And what about the other sales?
What?
What about the other sales in that?
The other sales, as far as the income approach, there would be a time adjustment applied to those.
No, I'm talking about just on the sales page, on page R12.
Okay, let me scroll to that and I'll double check. Yes, those with older sales dates, those are adjusted sale prices.
So the 2021 sales are adjusted, but the specific subject is not adjusted. Is that correct?
And I can, you know, double check that, but I think I have the record open, but I'm pretty sure. Well, let me scroll down to the addendum and I'll double check that. $43,350,000. Let me go to the addendum and I'll double check here. I show on the addendum 8/31/2022, $43,350,000. So those are unadjusted.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. And, anything else at the moment?
In that, I I'm here to answer any other questions, but statute clearly delineates how we should go about this appraisal for ad valorem taxation.
Okay, understand. Okay, so, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Christensen, are you prepared to present now?
Yes, I am. Technology has rejoined us in 2024.
Okay.
Is it all right if I share my screen as I go
sure,
through?
Sure. Sure. Okay.
And we're talking Crosspoint.
All right. The one that shoots in Kennewick.
I believe you should be able to. Oh, let me make that smaller. See my screen. So, as Mr. Peterson pointed out, the sale did occur in August of 2022. And much of that underwriting and financing was done in the 6 months prior to the closing date. And historically, you know, we expect real estate to increase in value, but there was a significant change in commercial real estate investing that occurred in 2022. And that was when the Fed finally decided to do something about inflation and move the Fed funds rate starting in March of 2022. And those changes were rapid. In 22 alone, the first change in March was only 25 basis points, but in May they bumped it 50 basis points. In June, they bumped it 75. July, the following month, 75. September, 75. November, 75. December 2022, another 50 basis points. And the reason I point that out is because that has a significant impact on commercial real estate financing, lending, and market transactions. And we know that because transactions started to fall off a cliff in the second half of 2022.
That's when you bought the property. I mean,
correct. In August, we closed, ICG Investors Capital Group closed on the property in 2022 in August. The rates had just started to change. Since the time of closing, Fed funds rate made three more changes, 75 basis points, 75 basis points, and 50 basis points. And we know that cap rates follow the Fed because we've seen what transaction volume has done since this time. And so that's really the crux of the issue. And that's the basis of our argument is that, yes, real estate in investing is investing and valuations fluctuate. They don't always go up. And the most significant impact is what the Fed has done to rates and how it has changed lending and therefore financing and pricing of multifamily.
Here's the problem I'm having, Mr. Christensen. When I look at your sale price of $43,350, that's well above the assessed value as of 1/1/23. So it would seem like any interest rate adjustment that you're speaking to has already been accounted for in the assessor's valuation.
Right, and we're very close to the assessor's valuation. I just wanted to present the income approach that we took that we believe is a little bit more reasonable. I understand our opinion of value is $30,929,705, and the assessor's assessment is $31,871,820. So we're not far apart. I wanted to present our approach because we took the same approach across all four properties to show that we're consistent in what we believe the market was as of January 1, 2023.
Just a second. You want to go on?
So I've got a question, Mr. Christensen. Could you say again what the Fed rate increases were before September of 2022?
Sure. March 17, 2022 was their first rate change where they were somewhere between a quarter and 50 basis points on their short-term lending. They raised it 25 basis points in March. They didn't make a raise in the April meeting, but in May they made a 50 basis point rate change. And then in June they made a 75 basis point range or change. And then July, another 75 basis points.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So what that does is it changes the lending, and on a property of this value, you know, the capital that's out there and available to investors is a limited pool. It's not the same as a smaller unit apartment complex. I do recognize that there were transactions that occurred in 2022, but it's not the same level of property and therefore not the same sophistication of investor going after the capital that's available that's going to require financing on this type of investment. So what we did was we looked at the actual cap rates that were available and looked at the bid-ask spread. This is CBRE. We're a global real estate brokerage firm. We looked at cap rates in a number of different optics. A spread implied cap rate, a fair value cap rate, a debt service coverage ratio implied cap rate. All of this was taken into consideration to derive what cap rates were. And we can see here, multifamily current cap rate, 5.25 versus the average suggested cap rate near 6. But what I want to point out is in the addendum for Cross Point, where the county mentions sales. Oh, where is that? River Point is owned by ICG. Badger Mountains was also ICG. Regency Park was also ICG. And then, of course, Cross Point is ICG. So four of these sales are from Investors Capital Group. These three are, townhomes that were sold at different times as the construction continues, along with the first purchase of the 30 units that were delivered in 21. And then the second phase, another 30 units. And then the final phase, completion of the sale of the property. So this was a transaction that occurred over, two years. And then the only other one was Shoreline Apartments, And that was also subject to the same kind of financing that was going on. And that's leading up to 2023. ICG also owns another multifamily property, or did own another multifamily property in the Tri-Cities area. It's just across the river in Pasco. The Crossings at Chapel Hill. That property sold in 2023, 6 months after, you know, our valuation date. That cap rate at the time of sale, I know because we were part of that, was a 6 cap. So we absolutely know that cap rates have been trending up since the Fed has made their movement, where cap rates were, you know, 4.25 prior to the Fed's moves, to, you know, 18 months later, or the sale of Crossings the Crossings at Chapel Hill occurred in June of 23. They had moved up 150, 175 basis points. And so we're trying to recognize, as the Fed has been hyper-vigilant in tamping and taming inflation by making these outsized historic moves in their Fed funds rate, that has a significant impact on the valuation of commercial real estate as it relates to transactions and cap rates. So we're not at a 6 cap, which is where we're seeing sales occur in 2023, in the later parts of 2023, once the Fed had calmed down. Their last rate change, I believe, was July 2023, and that was 25 basis point change. We're in between, you know. In our presentation, we show what the cap rate changes are.
Quick question in here. So looking at your page 4, where you show the columnar charts and you show the multifamily.
Do I have the page on the screen? Average?
No, it's different. The one prior, that one.
Yes, sir.
So help me understand here. So we're talking about multifamily, and you say it's the light blue bar there is roughly 5.25%.
Yes.
What was the date of that? What are the date of those rates?
This would be Q4 23 estimates.
Okay, but that's a year after the assessment date.
Right. This is off of what they've seen over the last year, right? So these are the rates that they've seen, and the Fed calmed down their rate changes in 23. The last rate change that we saw was July of 23. So the significant rate change occurred, which led up to January of 23. And that's when transaction volume fell off a cliff. And I showed that in the grid on page 10 of
our. Right. I'm still hung up on this light blue bar, because you're saying it's basically fourth quarter of 23, right?
Yes, sir. And those were the rates that cap rates, those were the cap rates that we're seeing leading up to Q4.
What was the rate in the fourth quarter of 22? Because that would seem to be much more relevant.
So here in this grid, we show what the cap rate change is by quarter since 2021. And it had already moved up after two quarters, nearly 75 basis points. And then four quarters, we're at 125 basis points to where we're sitting Q4 of 23 when this survey was done, at 150, 160 basis point change. So a year after it was, what, 110 basis point change on cap rate.
Okay, but now again, that shows April of 23. And are we looking at the, which line are we looking at?
The green line is the light green line here on page 12 is the cap rate moving up by quarter since 21.
Okay, my colors are a little different on my page than yours, but let's see here. So is it the top line you're looking at?
It starts off as the top line and then it moves to the middle. It's the lightest. It should be the lightest colored line.
Well, it's hard to differentiate it on mine. So I see some with diamonds or
so the diamonds are the forecast.
Some with squares.
Yeah, so the diamonds become the forecast if inflation stays stubborn and doesn't get tamped down. And then the boxes are if the Fed controls inflation, where we expect cap rates to start moving from there.
Okay, and it says number of quarters from the start of each yield decompression cycle. And you show a 2000 line, and then you show a 2008 line, which is the dark.
What they're trying to show is, okay, so 2008 was the GFC, the Great Financial Crisis, right? And how right. The cap rate had changed rapidly by quarter. And then, you know, once what, 7 quarters had passed, so your fall of 2009, the cap rate increase had capped out at only 160 basis point change from the baseline in 2008.
Okay, but if I look at that chart from at the 423, it appears the basis point is about 170 basis points, roughly. And then if I go back a quarter, it looks like it's more around 150 basis points.
Right. So that would be Q3 of 23, right? At 7.
Or Q4, yeah. Okay, so how does that relate to the cap rate that you're talking about, the 5.25%? Because you said that cap rate was about the same date too. So it sounds like the 5.25%, if I subtract 20 basis points off of it, would get you closer to, you know, instead of 5.25, it'd be down a little over 5%, 5.05%. Which will make a significant difference in your analysis, your income analysis.
About a 2% difference, right? On 25 basis points over 5%, 2.5%.
Yeah, something on that. But you see, if you make that adjustment, then all of a sudden your number comes in very close to where the assessor's number is.
Right, on this one, on River Point. And like I said, I wanted to provide.
This is Cross Point.
I'm sorry, Cross Point, getting confused with all the points.
Yeah.
I'm talking River Point. I thought we were talking River Point.
No, we're on still on Cross Point in Kennewick. But it's the same concept on both
right.
of them.
Right? It's the same concept.
Yeah, right. It's the same on both of them. So it really doesn't matter, but
across the board. Right.
So
well, what I wanted to show and present our analysis on is that cap rates have changed in that time frame. And we felt that 5.25 was reasonable. And so we used the actual income and expense that was provided in the rent roll. And the 2023, I understand it's not year end 2023. 2022, but we provided the full year 23 financials because that's what we had available. Because
that was another one of my concerns, that we don't have the proper time frame here. But
right, if those are unavailable to us because those were under prior ownership. But we do provide a full year 23 in which the rental growth had changed. And we also wanted to point out that there were significant evictions and bad debt that was kind of holdover from the COVID eviction restrictions that also played into, you know, part of the underwriting that went into the purchase price, unfortunately, that the ownership has had to absorb post-purchase. But what we wanted to show was that we're consistent in our valuation and our belief that the cap rates had changed significantly from the time of purchase, and we're no longer in the 21-22 era of extremely low lending rates, and monetary policy changes significantly to the valuation of commercial properties. And it sounds like you've had a chance to review our presentation, and I think you'll see that we were consistent in our approaches on the income side, where we took the actual rents as of January 1, 2023, and applied, you know, the actual vacancies that were at the properties at the time. And
okay, here's my calculation. So if I take your numbers at face value, and if I reduce your cap rate by 20 basis points, which brings it down to 6.08, all of a sudden I get $31,947,122, which is above the assessed number. So I understand your point, but I think you're using the wrong using the wrong point in time for those interest rates. You're going past the assessment date. And so when I just using your own numbers, and I try to go back to the assessment date, it looks like it's 20 basis points lower than what you're using.
Right.
Okay.
What we're trying to illustrate is that yes, cap rates are not definitive across the board for every property. And Mr. Peterson and I had a discussion about that, and we both recognize that.
Well, here's another issue. If I look at the assessor's report on their improved sales, I see at the bottom there's Willow Point apartments in Richland. Mm-hmm. It looks like there were three different bills there. One that occurred in 21, one in 22, and one in 23.
Yes, sir.
And the last one in 23, which is admittedly after the assessment date, was for 226,429 per unit, which is above the 216,750 sale of Crosspoint. So this suggests the market isn't as soft as you're suggesting it is, because in the Tri-City area, demand for housing is very, very strong, even at these rates. We're seeing contractors continuing to build new houses. Okay.
Understood. And on Willow Point, I would like to ask, because I'm not privy to the financials on Willow Point, that's a brand new build. And the first purchase, I believe each of those subsequent purchases went from the same seller to the same buyer. And so I don't know the specifics of each sale, why they split it into three different phases.
I think they're different buildings.
Right, they're three different phases. They look like townhomes or row houses that are built just were delivered at different phases. So I don't know if that purchase price was entered into in 21 as an option once the construction is complete for that, you know, that final 70 units that were delivered in 23. So I don't think Willow Point is a great illustration of a market transaction there for 23.
Mark, can you comment on that?
Well, also the one that you mentioned, that no details were provided, but you did mention, I'm sorry, I'm scrolling from property to property. One portion to the other. I'm looking at the addendum, the one that you mentioned that previously was owned by the company that you represent. Is it Chapel Hill?
Yeah.
It's still sold for $216,667 a unit.
It has higher rent, and we know the cap rate was.
Not to interrupt, but none of those details were provided. I asked for those details. You said it was a 6% cap rate, and well, that's all well and good, but where are the details? You know, the proof is in the pudding. Those details, even in the study that you had done, how does that translate to actual market value? Because, and I understand that you're looking at it from the investment side, which is prudent, but the market, the supply and demand factors in this market should be considered. I mean, in this marketplace, we still have hotels being purchased and converted to apartments because the demand is so high here. The presentation that you put together, your capitalization rate that you put together, none of the factors have been provided, only the results of your calculations. None of the factors have been provided. On Chapel Hill, you're the owners. You're the company that you represent. Why weren't the, because in the end, if this continues on, because I don't see us, coming to an accord, and that's the reason we couldn't come to an accord before, is because you're willing to present the results, but not the material facts, and which is my problem with coming to an accord and the proper valuation. And in addition to that, you're not looking at, because you mentioned that on the subject property Crosspoint that the appraisal was 6 months prior to the sale. It was in fact 6/14/2022. It was not 6 months prior. And why wasn't the why did the buy the seller not change the value? I mean, was it requested? Well, in my perspective, from the seller side, because that's what a willing buyer and a willing seller came together. And yes, there was time involved in the transaction, but how does that time and the change in those Fed rates actually convert to a market cap rate for the subject? And without any of those details, how can I, as someone who's representing the other taxpayers in these taxing districts, say, okay, well, yeah, I mean, because, represents a good market cap rate as of the assessment date or the lien date. And that has been my issue. Your presentation, you presented the results, not the details, in every conceivable way, in all that was presented. Which, in the end, when I go to my superiors who, are effectively the elected officials representing the other taxpayers in the taxing districts, they do expect due diligence on our part.
And I sent you an email, I think last week, when you asked me, to show you evidence of sales and derived cap rates since the time of purchase. And I sent you that email showing that, nothing has sold of significant unit count, smaller, less than 100 unit apartments had sold, traded a little bit at the end of 22. And I highlighted the crossings at Chapel Hill that sold on a 6 cap. I didn't see a response from you asking for further detail. I will be happy to provide whatever underwriting I can, because I don't represent the buyer. They don't have to disclose their underwriting assumptions that went into it, but I can provide the financials that led up to the sale that were that will show that it was purchased on a six cap. I'd be happy to provide that to you if I I'm allowed by the ownership. So I didn't have a chance to include that after our conversation. What I also haven't seen, and you're saying I'm not showing you the details, I hadn't seen, and I still don't see, the income approach that you say you ran on this. And in your presentation, I don't see the pro forma that took into consideration any sort of cap rate. I don't actually know which cap rate you're running when you say you came out to your assessment. So that's one thing I didn't fully understand in our conversations as we tried to work through this, is what cap rate are you using? Because we're trying to show that cap rates have absolutely moved since the time of purchase, and therefore that changes value. And we are presenting the four properties, the four that we've appealed, two of them today, based on what we believe the cap rate should be for that area as of January of 23.
25% under the sale price. What? Aren't we 25% under the sale price already?
Oh, we're under. Yeah, I don't know the exact percentage, but that's fine. I mean, that's you know, if this proceeds further, but in the end, for today's purpose with the Board of Equalization, you know, no new information can be presented, but. And you know, I defer those, you know, those things to the future. But I mean, I don't want to read
that. I think at this point, I'd like to move to River Point in Richland. I don't think we're going to get anything further out of Cross Point. I think we have what we need out of Cross Point. So let's move to River Point with Christensen. So if you would present. Sure.
I'm gonna shorten this because it's
sort of the same thing, right? I mean,
it's the same thing. I've provided the actuals that are for, are as of January 1 for terms of the rent on the specific property. Use the vacancy that was occurring at the property in 23, and provided the financials that were available at full year financials that were available to us at the time of the appeal, which is the full year for 2023. And here the difference is a little bit more because the valuation is slightly different. But again, I have not seen the actual approach that comes out to the county's value on this one. So I didn't have.
I think they're relying again on the sales approach.
Sales. Okay. So and that's our argument, because if we look at the other two that were included, they're 125% above on Regency Park, but on these they're below. And I just didn't understand where all the math was coming from. There wasn't transparency on that, because they're on one, you know, significantly above a purchase price, whereas on the other three, they're below. And what I'm trying to show is consistency in the approach through the income approach, which is how we believe multifamily commercial properties are bought and sold, that are, you know, institutional investment grade properties that are similar to this subject. Here I'm being transparent and showing the approach that we believe the value should be based off of. Again, we're close. I believe the assessment on this one in total is $47,195,960. We're indicating $45,144,446. So I'm not completely disagreeing with their assessment. Like, I understand that they're below purchase price, and I recognize and I appreciate that they are recognizing that, you know, you can't take sales of 20 other properties and just say, well, they're all bought at, you know, $225,000 a unit, and ignore what's going on a subject's property, and to just say, well, this would sell at $225,000 a unit. We're looking at the actual financials of the property and trying to line it up with all other considerations and apply what we felt was the cap rate at the time. Mr. Romano, I think you're muted.
George,
we can't hear you.
You were muted for the first 20
yeah,
seconds.
Sorry, the phone was ringing. You seem to be taking the approach that the seller now believes the property is worth less than when they purchased it 4 months earlier, and substantially less than when they purchased it 4 months earlier. Are you, is this a case of buyer's remorse? I mean, do they feel they made a bad decision? What's going on here?
Yeah, just like any investment that's out of your control, if it's like stocks, if you took a purchase in January and then the stock market changes because of variables outside of your control, the valuation of your stock has then changed, and you cannot go back and sell at the price that you purchased at. And that
I understand
in investments, and the cap rate change, you can't predict what the Fed is going to do. You try and look in your crystal ball and think, okay, well, what are they going to do? And is this a reasonable, sound investment? Do we have to deploy capital now? And if things are saying yes, then you make that investment at that time. And then if the Fed changes and bumps up their rate, you know, 225 basis points in 3 months, or I'm sorry, 200 basis points in 3 months since your purchase, it absolutely has changed what you could sell that property for at that time.
Have you guys listened?
I think it's a reasonable expectation that you saw what the inflation rate was during that period, and you saw that the Fed trajectory was to get the interest rate above the inflation rate in order to bring it down. Of course, that's not the only thing they were doing, but it was as a reasonable person, you had to believe that the interest rates were going to continue to climb at that point, because they were the inflation was still high and the Fed funds rate was still below the inflation rate. So you had to believe that they're going to continue raising the interest rates to get it above the inflation rate in order to bring it down. So I am not so sure I buy into your argument.
Well, so then you're also looking on the back end of your transaction, right? If you're buying on an investment, you expect to exit the property at a future time. So you can model what you know the rate to be today, but then 7 years from now, I expect that interest and inflation will have been tamped down and the Fed will return to this level of a target rate, and it's, you know, 2% or whatever the number is. So you have an inner cap rate or an introductory cap rate, and then you have an exit or terminal cap rate. And
understand,
buyers at that time were forecasting an exit cap rate lower than their entry cap rate. So yeah, it's a guessing game. It's educated guesses. It's looking at all these variables and trying to predict what the Fed is going to do. But what we're indicating is that it wasn't predicted that they were going to continue this rate climb at the aggressive numbers that we've seen. So
that's your opinion. I'm not sure I buy it, but okay. All right.
I think the assessor recognizes as well that they couldn't sell the property for the same price that they purchased it at in August of 22 and 23, which is why their assessment is lower than the purchase price.
Mark, let me ask you a question. You're probably more knowledgeable of this than I am, but are they continuing to build apartments in our area?
Yeah.
Is that a yes?
Most definitely.
And there's not a ton of inventory sitting on the market for sale.
Yeah. The inventory doesn't linger.
Yeah.
The availability of these kind of properties is very minimal. From my research in the market, is a lot of times as soon as things come on the market in this marketplace, even stuff that's being built, it is immediately acquired. Immediately. I know of a large fourplex complex where it's, you know, and they were looking at 5 years of production, and someone came in on the day that it was listed and bought the entire 5 years of production. And that was obviously in 2022, but I mean, that's the situation in the marketplace, is that things do not linger on the market. This is an asset class that has historically done well and does terrifically well in this market. And is
what can you tell me? Oh, go ahead.
Well, it's dynamic and changing marketplace, which is true, but how do these Fed rates actually compare with the market rate? That's always been my problem. And without some of the details and, you know, being able to look at, you know, look at all the details, you know, it's, you know, a lot of, I mean, these projections, these yield projections, they're so subjective that you know, that's why that law that I quoted was put into place, is because sales, you know, and yes, there's a lot of minutiae involved. That's why the details are needed.
Okay, let me ask another question. What is happening to rents in the local area, in the Tri-City area?
And you're asking me, George?
Yes.
Okay. There is, it's double digit appreciation in rents every year. Our most recent studies that we've seen, that were local studies, Richland-Kennewick studies, I think it, I could look it up exactly, but like 12.5% from beginning of 22 to the end of 22, 12.5% appreciation in the rents. And that's as a, you know, generally speaking, that's not involved with the subject property. I think.
Right. I understand. I'm just asking generally. And do you have numbers for 23?
They have continued to increase, but the reports have not come out, but our research indicates that they continue to rise.
Okay, so even though the interest rates are going up, rents are also going up commensurately, and new properties are being built to take advantage of those higher rents, even at the expense of having to pay a higher interest rate. Is that what I'm hearing?
To the best of our market research, yes.
Okay. All right.
I wanted to point out, here is their own addendum where it shows the slowdown is actually not a double digit increase. And this is in the end of 22, off from their double digit pace of rent growth that he quoted, 12.7%
for the whole year.
It had already slowed down from their evidence. In their addendum, they also point out that the transaction volume for 22 falls off from 21. And if you broke it down into quarters, you would see the fall off happen even faster in the second half of 22. And on top of that, the new development, you know, that's brand new Class A, higher rents than these vintage of property that we're talking about.
Yeah, but those properties aren't that old, if I remember correctly.
1996 is getting up there.
Not if they're properly maintained.
Right. But here's the thing with development. You know, sure, there's demand still in the market because there's not much affordable housing out there because single family homeownership is unattainable for so many folks. So apartment demand is going to be there. But
right.
That doesn't determine what the valuation of the property is. Yeah, maybe, or construction costs have certainly come down since the height in 21 and 22 as lumber prices have significantly declined.
Right, yeah.
And there's another part of that variable. It's not just demand and rental increases. Insurance has skyrocketed as replacement costs has skyrocketed. So there's both parts of the income versus the expenses, and both have drastically increased due to inflation and other financial levers that have been pulled. But what we're trying to establish is that values have, they were at their all-time peaks in 22. I don't see any sales that were presented in my conversations for 23. And the ones that I presented, the crossings at Chapel Hill were at a cap rate of 6.
Well, that's because sales in 23 are after the assessment date, right? So right. They basically provide no value as to the as of the assessment date. So they typically look in the rear view mirror rather than, you know,
what I'm trying to illustrate is that cap rates have moved up, value has declined since, you know, end of H2 2022. Since these purchases occurred, value has declined. It's not always marching up and up and up, even if development is occurring.
But we're not above the sale price.
I understand.
We're not even taking the value. And the other thing is, all these
not on this one. You're not above the sale price on this one, but on
all these indicators are showing. All these indicators have not. They're indicators, but you haven't showed the proof where they've reflected on the market. You haven't shown sales that these indicators have affected.
Because you're not allowing me to show, because the market dropped off a cliff because there weren't transactions.
Where are the sales in 22 that reflect these indicators that you're showing?
But we do want to just focus on the subject property. Regency Park is truly for another day. And that's another discussion, but we're not talking about equity. We're talking about market value at this moment of River Point.
Understood.
Okay.
There is that Willow Point apartment in Richland that sold in May of 23 for a higher per unit than your property. So
what are the rents and what are the financials on it, the specifics that, and I don't have the underwriting on that, so I can't speak.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm just simply doing a, you know, sale to sale comparison, and
because we are talking about the trend. Is the trend in value moving up or down? Is the overall cap rate down? Are the indicated sale prices overall moving up and down? I mean, it is beyond I was thinking of the Chapel Hill, but Chapel Hill is beyond what typically is allowed, you know, past 6 months, because, you know, it is possible to go out 6 months beyond, as long as you take in market trends into consideration. But, you know, it is it is beyond that mark. But
You can go 6 months.
If it's trended according to the market, yeah. I mean, that's typically what's allowed by the Board of Tax Appeal, which is generally based on precedents from also civil court. But they quite frequently take that into, and I've seen judgments where they go, well, you can go 6 months, but you can't go seven. They've personally told me that I could go 6 months, but I couldn't go seven in hearings. But.
And I get it. This is not a science. It's art, and everything's different on each property, which is what real estate is. No two pieces of land are the same. I was just trying to show transparency and consistency across our approaches, and explain to the ownership how some of the properties were below purchase price, and then one was significantly above purchase price. And I didn't have that response, and that's why I came to the board today, because I still haven't seen the underwriting that went into the valuation.
But you are talking.
You're asking to see their income approach. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. It is said that they derive their value based on an income approach, which
right.
I believe that's true because they're below the purchase price. And so I believe that, but I still haven't seen it. And that's all I'm asking.
Right.
Understand.
Well, in the state of Washington, there's sort of a hierarchy of methodologies.
Mm-hmm.
And the first methodology, the highest methodology, is the sales approach, followed by the cost approach, and then by the income approach. So I'm getting the sense, you know, that they did an income approach, but they added no value to the sales approach, is what I'm hearing them say and what their documentation says. Is that correct, Mark?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't think we're going to get it.
So, I'm sorry. No, you're right. I just heard him say that they did an income approach, and that's how the value came out. Because if it was just a sales approach, and their argument is that, you know, the 22 sale is indicative, then why are they not at the 22 sale? It's because they've had to do fee simple. And I haven't seen the fee simple income approach.
Well, in the state of Washington, the assessor is giving the presumption of correctness.
Understood. Okay,
and you have to overcome that presumption to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing, meaning highly probable.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have to show anything.
Right.
You know, so... but I think we've gotten as far as we're going to get on this. Peter, do you have any questions? Peter, you're muted.
Sorry. I thought your comment was a good one on the hierarchy of the approaches, because I think the sales approach is what Washington State prefers.
Right. Chuck, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Well, Mr. Christensen, we thank you for your time. So we will now adjourn and deliberate on both of these properties.
If it is allowed for 1 second, George, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Sure, Mark. Just
because I have you here, I can provide that. I mean, all of our information, we do have absolute transparency that can be provided. But for this hearing today, we do have to go with what has already been presented, but you will receive that from
Thank me. You.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. All right, Marisol, let's close the hearing and we'll